Psalms 85, if you will. Glad to see you today. I was going to give an offering, but they didn't pass my way, so I'll just put that right here until I see an usher after a while. Psalms 85. I asked this morning what time I need to finish, and someone finally told me. I looked at that clock, and I can't tell anything about that clock. The battery of my watch is dead, but I do have a cell phone here. So if you catch me looking at that, I'm not checking my text. I'm just checking the time. So I need to finish what time? 12 o'clock, something like that? 1 o'clock, 2? What time, Joseph? When I finish? Oh, listen, you don't want to say that to a preacher. I just tell you. You don't want to say that to a preacher. The longest I ever preached is an hour and 40 minutes. So you don't want to say that. So anyway, I know you got buses and things, so I'll finish up. I won't preach long. You know, husbands, he might be one, I'm not sure. I met him, Brother Linwood. And husbands say dumb things sometimes. You know that? I'm trying to get some amens out of you women here. This guy said, honey, you my A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. She said, well, what does that mean? He said, adorable, beautiful, cute, delightful, elegant, foxy, gorgeous, and H is, says hot, but I'm not going to say it in church. I'm going to say happy, so I didn't say it in church. And IJK, and she was so happy, she said, well, what does IJK mean? He said, I'm just kidding. He said, after about 2 weeks, he could see just a little bit out in both of them eyes, you know, so. You gotta be careful what you do. I did a dumb thing when I was a young husband. I did a dumb thing when I was an older husband. But I was probably about 23, 24, and I was going to Tennessee Temple. Back in those days, we'd come home, and wife and I headed back to Chattanooga in a Volkswagen Beetle, 1961. And so that's close quarters. And my wife and I, we were kind of, and I still am, which my wife's in heaven, she's not today, but I'm still hard-headed and, you know, a little hard-headed person. You got to be hard-headed, Pastor Baptist, people, you know that. Huh? And 52 years of it, you got to be. Anyway, we were going back, we got in a fuss. Now, I know none of y'all have ever done that, but we got in a fuss. And I said that my wife and I had a coke. I said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to pour this coke on top of your head. Now, I was 23 years old, I think, 24. And my wife, being a stubborn wife, she didn't shut up. And I'm a stubborn husband. I poured the coke on her top head. Now, I don't recommend that, men. We made it 41 years before she went to heaven, but I'm going to tell you what. I got reminded that about every 6 months, every year, don't ever do that again. So, and I slept on a couch for a long time, so you don't do that. We do dumb things, but don't do that. All right, Psalms 85, there's a sign behind me. Word says revival. Now, I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about it tonight. I want you to be here tonight. I mean, I really do, because with all my heart, I believe God's given me a message tonight for Bible Baptist Church. You need to hear it. It may change your life, so don't miss it. I want you to bring some folks. I asked some folks this morning to bring people tonight at 6 o'clock. I don't want you to spend all afternoon doing this. I just want you to get on the phone, call 3 or 4 people, get them to come out tonight. If you know someone not saved, not in church, some relative, some friend, some family member, get them to come tonight. I got a message. God gave me a message for Bible Baptist Church tonight. I want you to hear it. And I believe God gave me a message this morning also. But you're here. In Psalms 85:6, a very familiar verse. You know this verse. The psalmist says, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want you to pray. Dear Lord, I do not know most of these people here today. I do not know their heart. I'm not sure. sure who's saved and who's lost. I'm not sure who's doing your will or not doing your will. I'm not sure who's loves you and who doesn't love you, and I'm not sure who's on fire for you and who's not. But I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll speak to our hearts here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Church growth, and you're having it, and I'm glad. I stay on Facebook some, follow your pastor and others. And church growth is not revival, that's a result of it. You're having a blessing. You've had some problems, I know, about the fire. But God's still blessing. God's still blessing. But that's not revival, that's a result of it. Increase in offerings is not revival. That's a result of revival. If you're not tithing and you get right with God, you'll start tithing. Just as sure as the world. And people getting saved is not revival. That's a result of revival. And so we want God to give us revival. Always needing revival. Revival is when God's people literally get on fire for God. When I got saved back in the 60s, the church in the community there, they really had revival going on. I mean, not just a meeting, but I mean revival. They were praying and visiting and working like you're doing. And people were getting saved, and they came after me. And I ran from them for a while, and God got after me, and finally I got saved. That church was in revival. Revival comes, people get on fire for God. Their attitude changes. You can be as mean as an old devil. You get revived, you'll get sweeter. You know that? Your goals change. I had no goals in my life till I got saved. None, zero. I never had desire. Well, when I grow up, I'm going to be a mechanic. No, I never thought about that. When I grow up, I'm going to be a doctor. Never thought about that. When I grow up, I'm going to be a cop. Never thought about that at all. When I got saved, God gave me a goal. God gave me a goal. He put in my heart to be a preacher. And you get revived. Your goals, you might have certain goals you're trying to reach, and you're wanting to make a lot of money. You want to do all these things. Then one day you get revived and it dawns on you that you're here to glorify God, and you only hear it one time, and you better use your life wisely. Every day. Goals change. Priorities change. People get things out of order. We need an order in your life. You need what's first. What is first in your life? What's second in your life? What's third in your life? What's your priorities in life? You get revived, you begin to think about things. You don't just live for today and what you can do and you know, go to ball games and play golf, do all those things. And I'm not against that. I used to play golf, tried to. I played with Hank, your pastor's wife's dad, a number of times, and Andrew. I play golf. I go to ball games. And we love to come to Hillcrest and the Indians do and beat y'all, you know, every now and then. We love all that, but your priorities change. You don't put things that you enjoy maybe first. You put the Lord first. You get your priorities right. Is that not right? Somebody say amen right there. And you'll put others before yourself. You see, we live a self-centered life most of the time. I had an old friend, Eddie Goddard, preacher. I love Eddie. Eddie went to heaven about 3 years ago. He was an evangelist out of West Virginia. And Eddie and I were just as close as, I don't have a blood brother, but we were like brothers. We'd fuss and carry on one another and everything. And I said to Eddie one day, I said, Eddie, I said, you're the most self-centered man I've ever met in my life. You couldn't get anything on him. He said, Lewis, you're exactly right. Some people are so self-centered. He wasn't, but I said that anyway. He agreed with me. Listen, you get your priorities right. Your desires change. The things you want to do. Your involvement in life. Some people get so involved in certain habits and things. And look, I could preach on this a while. I could talk about that for a long time, couldn't I? I guarantee you where's Cheryl Coggin? Is she here today? Is she here? Y'all know her? She's on Facebook. She's my friend. I just noticed her a lot. and your pastor and others, and we get on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm a texting pawpaw, you know. And these things are like the old poker machines used to be in these little in and out stores. People go in there and put money in them all night long, and some people spend hours and hours and hours and hours on this thing right here. Hello. We get so involved in things that just doesn't make any sense. We need revival. We need our priorities right. Listen. If you got a mama or a daddy or a son or a daughter not saved or other family members you love, you better get your life in a shape where you can do something about it. I'm just telling you. They need you. People need us. Those of us who are saved here today, they need us out there. We have a message that will change their life forever. It'll take them to heaven when they die, but it'll change their life here. And we live in a crazy day. Don't y'all agree with that? We live in a anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-church day. People are against us. They're fighting us. There's coming a day they're going to want to destroy us where we can't even gather like we gather today. Now, you better understand that. And you better understand we better do what we can when we can. And we need to have revival and get urgent about this thing. People are going to hell. Now, when God sends a revival, He'll use a preacher many times. I guess most of the time. He's going to give somebody a message. Now, tonight, I'm going to preach. I'm going to start. And there's no doubt in my mind, in your mind, if you read the book of Jonah this afternoon, you will find out that God gave him a message to give to a city. And you'll find that out. Now, I'm trying to get across to you this morning that God has given me a message, not outside the Bible like he did Jonah. Back before we had the revealed word of God, he would speak to these prophets and men, and he'd give them a message to give to people. Now, but God doesn't do it. God gives me a message today, and as long as I've been preaching 50-something years, he gives me a message. It's always from the Bible. But he has given me a message particular for Bible Baptist Church tonight. I have no doubt. And some, and here's the way we are. I know people. I know human nature. Some of you will not take that seriously. Some of you maybe could come tonight and you won't come tonight just because you don't want to come tonight. Because you'd rather go do something else. That's your priority. But if you get revived, you'll start putting things of God and spiritual things first. That's me or you. Now, I know it's getting quiet in here, but I'm not preaching on tithing yet. I think I'll screw it on down a little bit more. Y'all so quiet, okay? Gonna need a someone who'll preach the Bible. Gonna need someone who'll just give it out. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 18 says this. I'll find it in just a second. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preach of the cross is them that perish foolishly, but to us which are saved is the power of God. In verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Listen to this. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God loves preaching. I just would that God Baptist loved it like God loves it. God loves preaching. God just chose that to preach. You're sitting here today to hear a preacher. Well, you're sitting here today because Mama made you come, but anyway, you're here. And we need preaching. We need a God called preacher. God calls men. This morning I was going to preach something else. I was going to preach some of this, I guess. And, well, I know it was. But I preached an entirely different message. I didn't use a note. I just out of my head, I preached about 30, 40 minutes, whatever it was. And I had someone come up and talk to me after that, and he said, "That's what I needed." And I knew then why I preached what I preached this morning. And I know what I'm preaching at this hour, and I know if God allows me to be back tonight, I know what I'm preaching tonight is for a Bible Baptist church in Simpsonville. I do know that. I hope you'll take that responsibility seriously. If you're a member of Bible Baptist Church, you'll make every effort you can to be here tonight. It's important. I know it's important. God uses preachers. Number two, a preacher's got to preach. Now, not just anything. He needs to preach the Bible. He has to preach judgment to come, and judgment is coming. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Judgment is coming. When I was a little boy, well, let me change that. When I was a boy, I never was a little. When I was a boy, I didn't want to. I hear my mama call me. I was raised out in the country. I had three sisters, my mom and dad and myself, six of us, and I was raised in a four-room house. No bathroom, boys and girls. Not until I was in the ninth grade did I see a bathroom in the house. I didn't mind it a bit. Didn't have to take a bathroom until I got in the ninth grade. I was raised poor, but I didn't know I was poor. I still love pinto beans and taters, don't you? It's a poor boy. But I didn't want to hear my mama calling my name twice. I knew I better get to the house. And when I was a senior in high school, I played football, and at the football game, they had a, back in those days, they called them a sock hop, just a dance. And I was wanting to go to the sock hop. And I asked my dad to borrow his car. I was going to go to the sock hop. Well, I wanted to go, but I didn't go. I told him I was going to go. I lied to him. And he said, "Don't go anywhere else. Just go there and come back." I said, "Okay." I didn't slow down there. I drove to Gaffney. I lived in Blacksburg. Drove to Gaffney. Pulled into the old snow top, if you are familiar with that. And it was a place where boys and girls, you know, cars need to circle around, you know. And as I was sitting there ready to turn in, a car hit me right in the rear. I was driving one of these fancy old 53 Chevrolets. And I got out, my side came around, everything looked all right. But I got to the right side where the passenger side back there, and that old fender on that Chevrolet was stuck out about that far. If you read your Bible, you know where when Nebuchadnezzar saw the handwriting on the wall, his knees smote together. Brother Linwood, I promise you, I can still, I couldn't hardly stand there. I was petrified. You know what I hated? I hated going home, facing my dad and judgment to come. Let me tell you what it's like, young people. I got home about midnight. I waited as long as I could. Went back to his room. Said, "Dad, I can still see that one eye open." I said, "I wrecked your car. And I ain't going to tell you nothing else about it." We don't want to face situations like that. You don't want to face your parents when you've done something wrong. And let me tell you something. Whether I like it or you like it, we're all going to face God one day. That's going to happen. The Christian's going to face the judgment seat of Christ. The old lost sinner who's died going to hell, he's going to face the great white throne judgment. I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Listen, he'll preach about judgment come. He'll preach about responsibility to believers. You got responsibility. You know what? I don't know a thing about this church much except your pastor. And I haven't seen him since a little boy, and I've known him forever. And his dad, I know his dad real well. I don't know many of you around. I know Michael over here, and I know Jacob, and I met a few other, Brother Linwood here, and a few of you. I know some of you. I know you a little bit. But I know this. Probably about 10% of you do all the work around here. That will get quiet. No, I'm just telling you, I'm going to tell you the truth, and hair lips the devil. I'm going to tell you, you know why? People have this attitude. I pastored 52 years, folks. I know human nature. I know people. Well, so let somebody else do it. Why don't you do something? You say, I can't teach. Are you sure? Yeah. I said I couldn't preach either, but I'm standing here preaching today. Take responsibility. You're a Christian now. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Don't leave it up to someone else. Some of you men, you leave all responsibility at home up to your poor, poor wife. Hello? I'm just telling it like it is. You won't take responsibility. They probably some young folks here, about 30 or 35 years old, still sleeping around their mom's house, won't pay any rent, won't do anything, just a bum. Sorry as Alabama gully dirt, in my opinion. Take responsibility. Get up and get you a job. Oh, I hear them. I'm not going to work for $7 or $8 an hour. Let me teach you a little math. $8 an hour times 40 hours is $320 a week, and $320 a week is better than $0 a week. Go make you $8 an hour and get home and pay your mom and dad some rent for laying up in their house all the time, eating their groceries and enjoying their electricity and enjoying that shower. Come on now. Take some responsibility. Men, lead your homes. It's not your wife's responsibility to make sure them kids get saved and you have devotion in your home and whatever. You do. It's not. Hey, it's not. You don't. Listen. Don't. I hear these guys say, "Oh, honey, are we gonna go to church Sunday?" Come on, man. Man up. You don't ask your family going to church. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's not a question. Just go do it. Take responsibility. Take responsibility. Duty. Just do things because it's right. Now listen, I might bust your bubble, but I'm going to bust it. If you're just serving God out of your emotions, your feelings, you might not make it too long. I know you won't make it to get old. And let me tell you something about old age. It's not for sissies. If you just serve God when you feel like it, you might not ever do much for God. We do things and we should do, and it's right to do right. Old Dr. Bob Jones said, do right till stars fall. Just do it. Oh, I couldn't wait. I just could not wait to jump out of bed at 5:30 this morning. I was so excited about driving down I-85 and all that mess out there. Now, if you believe that, I got a bridge you want to see. I get up in stages. I sit up on the bed there for about 5 minutes. This duty is right. You got to get up and go. I made up my mind. I'm going to keep going. I can't go anymore. Can't do what I once did, but I can still do something. Go. Duty. Faithfulness. You be faithful. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your church. Just be in your place. Get disciplined. Discipline your life. That's what the disciple is. He's disciplined. He's going to do things. It's not easy. Who said it's going to be easy? I probably, when I was young and I preached, I probably thought, we get saved, everything's going to be wonderful. Well, I was wrong if I said it. It's not. I'm going to heaven, but until I get there, it's not always wonderful. Listen, it's just right. Preach on giving. I think I told you last time I hear, if I was as victorious in my rest of my life as I am my giving, I'd be a real highly successful Christian. But I'm not. If I was as, because what happened to me, I'd gotten saved, probably 2 or 3 weeks after I got saved, I did write a check for a certain amount of money. It wasn't my tithe. I got under conviction, went back to my car, I wrote another check, started tithing that night 50-something years ago, and I've done it for 50-something years, and God blesses that. I know God blesses that. God blesses tithing and giving offerings to the Lord. I know that. See, those ushers, they hadn't learned that yet. And I got some money right here I was going to give them, but they wouldn't stop by. I know what I'm talking about. Listen. What time does this thing say? Turn to Luke chapter 6. I got to give you a verse. This verse, God gave it to me, and it works. I know it works. That's right, Brother Linwood, Luke 6:38. My kids say, I can't hear, and I heard him say that. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Did you hear what it says? How? Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men, M-E-N, give unto your bosom. Now listen, I do not give my tithes and my offerings to get. But because I have done that for 50-something years, I do get. I'm driving, I think it's a Lincoln Navigator, out there in the parking lot. I've had it about 2 years. Man had it for sale, and I said, what do you want for it? He said, what do you give me? I said, I don't know. I said, what do you want for it? A friend of mine. He said, I just think I'll give it to you. And he gave it to me. I got another old car at the house. One day a guy calls out, I got something I want to give you. He gave me a car. I've had folks over the years, I've had $1,000 given me more than one time. I've had $100 given me many times. And I had a man call me in his office one day and say, I won't give you something. He said, it's not for your church, that's for you. God's my witness. Wrote me a check for $10,000. Now, I don't know about your preacher, but most preachers are not making a killing. I started churches. I worked a lot of times in my ministry to provide my family. Nothing wrong with that either, by the way. I don't think many guys want to do that today, go out and start a church and have to work a job and do all that. They don't want to do that today. But by the way, just take good care of your preacher. I know you do. And here, let me teach you something else, if you don't know already. You'll get yourself in a situation where you think God can only provide your way, your living one way. That's just not true. He provide, and you say, well, you're a preacher, that's why people. No, I don't think so. God has a way of meeting your needs if you put him first. He said, prove me, try me out. Why don't you try God out if you don't believe it? you will find out. I'm telling you the truth because this Bible tells you the truth. Give and it shall be given unto you. You do that. We need revival. We need to give. It's a blessing to give, folks. I love to give. People give to you. Need a revival in getting people saved. The revival in sins of this day and the sins of the home and get things right. We need revival. My time's running out. Church needs to pray for revival. 2 Corinthians 7:14 is the formula for revival. Pray for those who are away from God. Pray for families. Pray for good spirit. I love to go to church like your church have a good spirit in it. You ever been in no dead church and people won't shake your hand? Now let me teach you something else. You remember this church, when you get visitors in here, I hope you'll go shake their hand. Now every church can be a friendly church. Need revival. Give us power over some things in our life, our habits, bad habits of life, our careless living, our rebellion, not willing to do the will of God. God has a will for every man and woman and boy and girl in this room. I don't know what it is. Don't come ask me. You can find it, though. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's in the Bible. You can find the will of God. God has a will for your life. God wants you to be revived, and God wants you to be in his will. God wants you to keep on keeping on. Here's what we say today, too. I hear this. The young people say, let the old people do it. And the old people say, let the young people do it. But nobody will do it. Just volunteer. Hey, I tell you what. Don't tell the pastor. When he gets back next week, come up to us and preach. I just been thinking about this. Anything I can do around here, let me know. Let me know. I want to do something. I haven't been doing anything. Let me know. He may have a heart attack, so kind of do it carefully. Like, I mean, be real. Do it. Be it gentle. Say, now sit down, Pastor. I won't talk to you now. Don't want to kill you. Some of you folks have never done a thing. Oh, I know you look pretty today. You say, I know how you're looking at me. You say, I don't like that fellow. Yeah, you do. You just know I'm telling you the truth. You're not doing anything. You know you're not doing anything. You know you can do something. You can do more. Am I telling the truth? Somebody say amen, preacher. Amen. We all can. Get with it. Time's running out. Listen. Just use your head. I'm 77 years old. Now, if you don't think I don't know that I don't have long, if I live to be 100, I don't have long to live. I was telling one of my daughters the other day, I said, Kelly, do you know in 23 years I'll be 100 years old? Now, I don't know where I'm going to be in 23 years, but I'll be 100 years old when I'm there. It goes by quickly. Y'all sure you see me when I had some dark hair? I hadn't always been gray-headed. I hadn't always had all these wrinkles. I hadn't always been stooped over. I hadn't always been like this. Man, you should have seen me. I was about 18. I had them ducktails. I had that black hair and big muscles, you know, them pipes. I was something else. But that something else gets to nothing else after a while. Revivals don't last forever. But I tell you what, a good shower doesn't need it, but I sure do need one every day. Smell a whole lot better. Get revived, you just want to praise the Lord. I found this out years and years ago, and I'm about through. When a church is in a spirit of revival, I'm in a spirit revival, you're having great services, and people get to singing and praise the Lord, and you'll watch people that want to hang around. They want to fellowship some more. They want to, let's go out and get something to eat and fellowship some more. Man, I've had some Christian friends over here. We stay up 2 and 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when I was young. You fellowship. But here's how you can tell when a church is in trouble. When the last amen is said, if you don't get them doors open, they're going to knock them down. They're going to go out of here like a covey of birds. But boy, when you're revived, you're happy in the Lord. You got problems. Yeah, we all got problems. But you're happy in the Lord. You got the joy of the Lord in your heart. Knowing it's well with your soul. Man, get around God's. There's nothing like God's people. Nothing like God's people. Let me encourage you today. Do something for God. Get revived. Let Him speak to your heart. Get your sins all confessed up. You know what? Let me say this. If we get honest, we'd have revival. That's what's wrong. We try to veneer everything. We try to look like we're all right, and we're not all right. If you come to an altar and you say, I don't know what's wrong, you just start confessing. Before long, you'll probably hit it right on the head what's wrong with you. Doesn't take long to figure it out once you get honest. Let's have revival. Let's do something for God. Let's be a blessing to others. Let's be a blessing to our church. Let's go to work. Let's really get with it.